Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
A Rayo Original Podcast.
Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Well, now, hello. Yes, it's October already, as you may well have noticed, and the leaves are falling. There are Halloween costumes and things in the shops, which is just ridiculous, but the nights are clearly drawing in. But we have just the thing to warm you up. It is the Confessions podcast brought to you from your friends at Greatest Hits Radio. Uh-huh. And this week, did you know it was International Podcast Day?
Yeah.
And that was on, was that back on Tuesday?
It was.
I think. And everyone celebrates by gathering around the piano and listening to their favourite podcast. And in 100% of homes that we tested, we found that this was the podcast that they listened to, which I think is all the proof that you need that this is the number one podcast.
It is. And the gathering around the piano specifically. Mm-hmm. So it's a piano, but then they've got what, the smart speaker on top of the piano?
They've got a piano that actually plays podcasts.
Wow.
It's the latest.
It is
the latest
tech
model. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Sister Susie's in the pub.
I am indeed.
Brother Matt is in his gutter.
Yes, I am.
And Sister Holly is guarding the cupboard of tat as she does so womanfully.
Absolutely.
No one is getting anything while she's there. Coming up, we're going to be taking a look at the parish notice board to see what's new on there. Matt will be rolling through the odd five-star review like a toddler in a ball pit. That's a new version of an old phrase. We'll make a brief visit to the not-for-broadcast Mark Knopfler section, which is getting worse, definitely. And, of course, the thing that's getting better, all the confessions from this week's Drive Time show on Greatest Hits Radio, including David's smelly sock tail, she's going to get a lamplight, Bert's rag week prank, chim chimini, chim chimini, chim chim chiroo, and Tony's confession, I was working in the lab late one night. But we start with a culinary confession from Peely. We called it Wild About Daddy Cool.
Simon Mayo's confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession comes from Peely. I should say, probably 12 if you're eating.
Okay, that's always a good sign, yeah.
Peely says, Hi Simon, for the following I seek forgiveness from your collective. This confession occurred a short time ago, in fact, in the last couple of weeks.
Oh.
I love the confessions feature on your show, but I've never had anything remotely interesting to send in. The stars aligned recently, however, when my confession ironically occurred because of your confession slot. I was cooking as usual for my wife, who we shall call Bridget because of her likeness to Jones, one in looks and behaviour, uncanny actually, and my children, Pivy, age 19, and Chunks, who's 21. I'm imagining that these are okay. Nicknames.
Yeah, as I hope so.
Both back from university for the summer. All right, Pivy and Chunks, and Bridget and Peely. Now, I think that I provide good, wholesome home cooking every night, but my efforts sometimes result in negative feedback. Not spag bol again, I hear, as thank you for providing delicious and nutritious food.
Yes.
And we usually result in one of the following responses from me. 1, feel free to make dinner yourself. 2, you can always put a review on TripAdvisor. And 3, this is not a hotel.
Yeah, there you go.
Severe eye rolling then follows from Gen Z. The fussiness baffles me as Pivy seems to have lived exclusively on chips, chicken and curry from a dodgy kebab shop in the northern city where she goes to university. Chunks has returned from university in Germany where his diet appears to have consisted mostly of Königsberger Klopse, which is meatballs in cream sauce.
Yep.
Schwarzwalder Kirschtort, which is
Black
Forest Gatto for dessert, washed down with a cheeky Weinstephan Hefeweissbier, which is a yeast wheat beer. That's
not bad. I love that. Yeah, thanks very much.
That's an interesting menu. I just don't get the Gen Z fussiness around food. They go on about use-by dates. Daddy, are you sure the meat is okay? Yes, it's fine. In my day, there weren't any use-by dates. If it doesn't smell and it's not green, you ate it.
No.
Wow. Cue inevitable eye-rolling and another opportunity to explain to them how they've never had it so good. What it was like when I was young. Okay, it's a generational divide
here.
So there I was, slaving away cooking dinner with Greatest Hits Radio on in the background. I was responding to feedback, so as a change from the usual menu, I was making a salmon and rice salad dish. Ooh. This menu choice meeting the approval of Runner Son, we needed a balanced meal before going to his running club that evening. That's Chunks, obviously.
Okay.
Going without his Vian Stefan Hefeweiss beer. Bridget had very kindly brought me a new vegetable peeler, which was sharp. Sharp as anything. So I thought I'd make some vegetable ribbons with carrot and cucumber, hoping for positive reviews for a more sophisticated dish. As I was peeling slivers of said ingredients into a bowl for the salad, I was listening to the confession. He caused me to laugh out loud, and momentarily I lost control of my fine motor skills. As I drew the new razor-sharp peeler across the carrot, producing a stylish sliver, I took with it a considerable slice from the knuckle of a finger on my left hand, probably about the size of a pea. I looked all over for the offending detached knuckle, but can only assume it had landed in the salad. I rummaged through but couldn't locate it. What to do? Chuck the lovingly prepared salad out and give them spag bol from the freezer, or carry on? I chose the latter. So I must apologise to my family for the additional ingredient in the salad, although it did match the meal requirement for protein from Running Son. And when I say rummage through, I had a quick look, couldn't see it, and carried on cooking. Which member of the family actually ate it? That's my knuckle we're talking about. Who knows? But the meal itself went down well with 5-star reviews. I therefore have to seek forgiveness for my sloppiness in the kitchen, lack of care whilst peeling, but mostly for the unusual ingredient in the salad, as well as my lack of willingness to find said foreign item, my knuckle, before serving the dish to my family. Maybe the aligning of the stars was as a result of me boring on about the good old days, and I was being punished for that. Said finger was very hurty after my inadvertent slicing. Really? Oh, you surprised me. So in mitigation, I shall forthwith not bore the children any more about how we had it good in the old days. I would like you to consider further mitigation for my sinful behaviour, as I'm sure I wouldn't have taken such a large chunk of my finger and put it in the salad if I hadn't been laughing so much at your confession feature on the radio.
Yeah.
Your albeit tenuous involvement in this incident may sway your decision towards forgiveness, although I understand fully that this argument might not hold much water with Susie. Yours in forgiveness and still a massive hole in my knuckle, even now. Says Peely in Bury St. Edmunds. As soon as we got to the bit about the vegetable peeler being sharp with vegetable ribbons, carrot, cucumber, I kind of knew where this was going. But losing your knuckle, would that not resolve in lots of blood and a need for a plaster, at least? Anyway, Sister Suze, what do you say to Peely?
Yeah, Peely, do you know what? He's got a point. It was, I guess, in a way, our fault for just being too funny. And I kind of see what he's saying there. But yeah, surely a bit unhygienic. Like, I'm a bit worried for his safety. Like, does he not hurt himself? Were there not a lot of blood? Is there? Oh, it just is a bit too much finger food, I guess.
Yes,
you would say.
I suppose
that.
He would, yes.
But I, as much as I would like to forgive him, I do think that maybe he should have try to look for it a bit more carefully. So
if
I'm
there's a crunchy bit in there, that's come out of my finger. I mean, I think that's fairly straightforward to say. Or would you rather have a Königsberger Klopse?
Yes, please, two of those. So I'm going to forgive. Let's not forget that, of course, this all occurred because he was finding this feature so unbelievably funny. So that means definitely forgiven as far as I'm concerned. Also, how is Chunks going running on meatballs and gatto? That doesn't make any sense at all. He's doing very well.
And
metabolism must be through the roof. And a knuckle in the salmon. So, I mean, you know, it happens, doesn't it? The rule we've all learnt there is don't bother with vegetable ribbons because, or vegetables at all, in fact. So, for all those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
I don't think we have learned that. Anyway.
Yes, I think
we have.
All right.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
I think we've learnt through following our Thursday food spectaculars.
Oh, yes.
Sometimes vegetables are rather special.
Yes, sometimes they are, aren't they? Yes,
yes, mm-hmm. yes. And yes. So therefore,
does my verdict hold any water? Some would say yes, and some, no, like me, would say...
Absolutely.
No, some would, like me, say yes as well.
Lots of similar mishaps from the people's verdict, including this one, which at least gets points for creativity.
And Andrew in Chippenham says, totally forgiven. Similar kitchen mishap occurred back in the day when my sous chef wife sliced the end of her thumb into a large vat of Thai curry at the restaurant she was working at. Oh. Rather than bin the lot, she changed the specials blackboard to Thai curry with ladies' fingers.
Right.
Which is true.
Which is true. It's a gag. It's also probably not very...
no, very good.
No, not very good and not health and safety compliant.
No.
I think that's definitely true. Now we're going to go to the pumpkin-decorated parish notice board. Is it too early for pumpkins? I think it's too early for pumpkins. Let's not go too early.
No, don't do that. Mm.
No.
We're spooky, though, aren't we? We're in a sort of spooky church with ghosts.
No, that's the end of October. October's just started.
Drop off this morning, and there were pumpkins lined the steps up to the nursery.
Well, yeah, that's ridiculous. You need to kick them away and go, we don't want anything to do with that. It's like having Christmas things in the shops in September.
Which they do.
Okay, the battle is lost. Matt, what do you have from your parish notice?
Yes, and I bring forth the 5-star reviews, including this. Smiddles, not a real name, says, 5 stars, really just the best. Good afternoon to you, the Holy Collective. I've given you each 5 stars. I think you are all fantastic. Simon, Matt, Susie and Holly. I think Simon's creativity that embellishes some of the confessions is out of this world. Matt, you're so funny. Mm-hmm. I wish I could use your laugh as a ringtone because it's next level. I love the morals that the ladies have. They are what keep me on the straight and narrow.
That's why they're here.
I love those morals that the ladies have.
Yeah.
Thank you so very much. Please, can I have a mug from the tat cupboard? Kiss, kiss. Yes, you can, Smiddles, but not my decision.
No,
very much down to Holly. Dave, real name, says 5 stars. Excellent. Matt for Prime Minister. And then a picture of some spectacles. That doesn't make any sense,
they're
Dave.
Hands
on spectacles doesn't make any sense, Dave.
Together.
But I applaud the...
Maybe someone should be wearing their spectacles.
Well, I don't think I need to. Captain Stable says 5 stars once again. The best podcast where members of the public confess their sins. Love the Mark Knopfler section. Matt is the best.
The best podcast where members of the public confess their sins. I mean, I think this is the only
one. The only
one.
Yeah.
No, Susie, what have you selected from the notice board?
Well, I've got this fabulous edition from Dave.
Oh, my goodness.
Which comes with a photograph. Lord. So I'll just describe it for you in a moment. But it says, hi, team. Just listen to this week's 5-star podcast. I work 6 till 6 shifts, so always miss the confessions live. And regarding the talk of Matt's gutter at the start, I know exactly the type of gutter he's referring to, in brackets, Matt for Prime Minister.
Uh-huh.
So I had a play about with some photo editing to produce an image of Matt on a stool in said gutter. So
I think the key bit there is I had a play about with some photo editing. Yes.
Oh, done very well. I mean, it's an American gutter, that, isn't it? But yes.
It's still not curved.
But no, that's because it's an American gutter. That's
you're
why.
You're like a little leprechaun.
I am a little leprechaun.
His head.
How have they got that person to start to sit on a gutter? That doesn't make any sense.
I like the fact that your head is way
My
bigger
head's
than
far
your body.
Too big.
Yes.
It's like. But, so unlike me in real life.
It's
yes, no, great picture. And
fun.
But an American gutter, which we can always change.
Yeah. He carries on and says, is this worthy of some free tap from the cupboard, Holly, goddess of thy mugs?
Mm-hmm.
I hope so. Love the show. There is a 5-star review for me on Spotify, if that helps. Thanks, Dave Barrett. P.S. I did send a confession back in May, but it mustn't have been worthy. I'll keep working on my sinning to hopefully get another in the future.
I don't think that the point is to encourage people to sin.
No.
Yeah.
Particularly. Mm. But anyway, are you handing out any tat?
Yeah, I mean, the photo is good, I have to say. The photo, it's excellent work, actually. I think they've gone above
and
beyond.
My head is ridiculous. My head's like, what? Could you not have tried to make the head go with the body? No?
I like that it does look like your body, though, and I don't think it is your body.
It's
definitely not my body.
Yeah, that's the thing that's weird about it.
I mean, those aren't my shoes.
Also, the face you're pulling.
Could be my shirt.
And you're on a little stool.
Yeah.
That's definitely my face.
The face you're pulling is like both of like satisfaction, but also why am I here?
Why am I next to an American gutter?
Why am I a tiny man in a gutter?
Looks as though you've just done a big poo.
No, right, lovely. Classy. Well done. I think we all know what the secret code phrase is going to be. Anyway, there we go.
Couple of mentions to Neil, Ed, Janine, Paul, Scragmeister, Liam Meller and Tracy Fry, amongst those who got in touch with the secret code phrase from last week's podcast, which was, of course, Holly's pirate name, Funky McGiggles.
Yeah.
I've even forgotten why. But anyway, Matt will have a new secret code phrase at the end of this podcast. Now it's time to pull up a chair, close the blinds and whisper some of the terrible tales of the week. It's our not-for-broadcast, Mark Knopfler section, starting with you, Dave. Dave, we can all agree that having noisy neighbours is the worst. However, collecting up 5 days' worth of dog poo while they're asleep is gross and also illegal. So stop it.
No, you missed out the.
I did because I just thought
it was too much.
It was absolutely too much.
Because all I heard was the dog poo.
Yes.
So it even got worse than that.
He did something with the dog poo, but you don't need to know.
Hannah says it's great to hear. It's great to hear, Hannah, that you were inspired by one of our confessions this week to write in with your own. However, in your confession, you were dealing with a horrible customer at the restaurant you worked in. So when you cut your finger and you deliberately put the blood in their soup, that is kind of, unpleasant and gross.
Gross,
and
also
probably illegal.
Illegal, I think, yeah.
Putting it in the soup.
You can't put it in the soup.
No.
I mean, the lesson there is don't eat soup.
No, that's a very good lesson, isn't it?
Because you never know if Hannah's been around dropping her blood into it.
Maybe it's don't be a horrible customer and then you won't get anything in your
food. Don't be a horrible person that works in a shop.
Well, yeah.
Or a horrible customer. Don't be horrid.
Don't be horrible.
Yeah. Why can't we all just get along?
Yeah.
Quite right.
I'd like to buy the world a Coke.
Yes,
and then we could all live in perfect harmony. And with those safely locked away for another week, it's back to the confessions that made the light of day with David's confession. She's going to get a lamplight.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone, just the entire nation.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's tale comes from David. Thank you, David, for this particular tale, Simon and the crew. When I was 10, I'm now 64, I was bored at the beginning of the school holidays. I was lying on the sofa and a thought crossed my mind. You must have had many interesting thoughts as a 10-year-old. Well, these were mine, in no particular order. What does chirpy, chirpy, cheep, cheep really mean? What's the difference between hot love and any other kind of love? Well,
you'll find out later. Yes.
You don't need to know that at 10.
Don't want to go there.
And also, how old will I have to be before I can have facial hair like that guy from Mungo Jerry?
Oh.
Anyway, this is what I was thinking. If you like pop music.
Important.
Anyway, my brand new thought was this. I wonder if I take my socks off, I could use the lampshade as a basketball hoop and throw my socks onto the lampshade. I'm sure you've all had similar moments of puzzlement, but I thought I might have invented a new sport. Throwing my socks into the lampshade.
Okay, yeah. Sounds fine.
I can't think of anything.
No.
I tried several times to net the socks, but failed. I never was any good at basketball. I was getting bored with my newfound sport already, but decided on one more attempt. That's the thing when you're 10, you know, you think of a great thing, and then five minutes later you think it's boring.
Not enough.
Boring.
Joy of joys, I netted the socks, which remained lodged in the lampshade out of view, but did not affect the light. This was a result. But at that moment, I was called for tea and forgot about the socks. So the next few days, there was a funny, cheesy, burnt smell in the house.
Lovely.
Not overly unpleasant, a bit like a cheese toastie, which were all the rage, but with that something special, something indefinable about it. Over the next few days, my mum's search for the cause of the smell and was vigorous in wiping and cleaning every possible surface just in case she'd missed something. I, of course, had forgotten about my sock-throwing antics as it was the school holidays, and I had moved on to other pursuits, like, for example, how many of my friends could I jump over with my chopper bike if I constructed a ramp and lined them up at the other end of the ramp. I'm not sure you should encourage any of this kind of behaviour at all. I'm quite jealous he had a chopper bike, and I never had one, even though I asked for one a number of times, but didn't get one.
Okay.
Didn't get a Johnny Seven gun either.
Right. Okay. Anyway.
Over the next few days, the cheesy smell got stronger and stronger until one day my mum let out a scream because the lampshade was on fire.
Oh!
There were flames erupting everywhere, billowing black smoke filling the room. Fortunately, the soda stream and a bottle of Corona's finest limeade was able to douse the flames. Very good 70s reference.
Yes, limeade. Nice.
At this point, I remembered what I had done, but decided, as Matt would say, to keep a sock in it and not confess. Once the drama had subsided and the fire was out, the family examined the remains of the lampshade. There was a strange extra blob on the shade, which I successfully explained was the effect of heat on the shade, quoting some made-up scientific explanation. I think the extra oxygen in the lamp must have reacted with the paint dye, which was too green, and green lampshades are famously dodgy.
Ah,
it was this kind of thing.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
It worked. So therefore, clearly, I need to ask for forgiveness from the family, especially my mother, who tried to find the source of the cheesy smell, and to any of my friends who were injured in my Evel Knievel bicycle stunt riding. I wonder, David, if you should have concentrated on that. It does sound as though maybe that might have caused more long-term damage. However, setting fire to a lampshade is obviously also very dangerous, and please don't try any of these things at home, because don't try and jump over your friends on a bike. And don't throw socks into a lampshade, because all of those things are reprehensible. Susie will get very cross about it. Anyway, what do you wish to say to David, Suze?
Well, David, what happened to, like, the bin in the corner? Couldn't you just chuck your socks into the bin? That's not going to cause any fire hazards. That's just silly, full-on fire hazard. And also, trying to jump over your friends on your bike. This is all just too much for me.
We all did that. I mean, those of us who had chopper bikes, was not me, but if you had a chopper bike, you wanted to jump over your friends?
Yeah.
Did you not?
Yeah, I just can't condone any of these behaviour. Danger, danger, high voltage.
Oh, yeah. Indeed. Straight on it. Wow.
Straight on it. How about that? Well, it was a classic, you know, you don't throw your socks into the lamp if you remember that there is danger, danger, because there's high voltage.
Yes. The smell.
And the stink. Yeah, and the flames. Matthew.
Well, my knowledge of lampshades is there's normally a hole, isn't there, at the bottom of the lampshade, and maybe... there wasn't a hole in the 60s or 70s or whenever David was starting. And maybe as a result of what David was doing, they decided to put a hole in the bottom of the lampshade. So we're all safer now as a result. And maybe he had a point about the green paint. Could be true. Maybe it wasn't true. But, you know, I mean, I'm prepared to believe it. For all those reasons, I choose to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Thing is, if you had a chopper bike, you did want to do stunts and so Holly's looking at me like I'm a complete idiot. Chopper bike was the coolest bike you could possibly ever want. It had raised handlebars.
And you sat down, right?
Yeah, you sat on it like a bike.
It's like a proper chair.
Like low.
Well, it was quite, but it had like a padded seat instead of a saddle, which had a back, and you sat up. Like you could pretend you were a Hell's Angel, that kind of thing.
Nice, okay.
And so obviously you wanted to jump over your friends and do stunts and all that kind of stuff. So I understand what that one was all about, but it's sort of lost on the younger listener. Because now it's just like an e-bike. But back in the day, the chopper bike was the thing that you misbehaved on. Anyway, a bit of a mixed reaction on the people's verdict, including this one, which to Matt's delight was absolutely puntastic.
And Tim in Sutton Coldfield says, forgiven. David was only 10. These things are quickly forgotten. He definitely put his foot in it and didn't toe the line by confessing. Betty thought, darn it.
Yes.
Oh!
Quite enough of that. Still to come, there is some action on the roof in Bert's confession. Chim chimney, chim chimney, chim chim taru. But first, Tony's confession. I was working in the lab late one night.
Confess all. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
Today's confession comes from Tony. A little bit racy in places.
Ooh, I like.
Simon and the team, when I was... This has been sent in because he heard a confession a while back which related to the language laboratory at school.
Oh, yes.
When I was in my GCE / CSE years, GCSEs today, this is the late 70s, Father Simon, French was a compulsory subject. I took this as a sort of unofficial free period, as A, I couldn't see the point in it, and B, I was rubbish at it. French lessons, in the end, gave me a good share of laughs. That's the way I thought about French. An irresponsible attitude, which we'd like to say, obviously, don't try that at school. We used to have language labs as part of our learning, where you could listen to French, answer questions, or undertake spoken translation at your own pace, and replay parts if required. You could also replay your responses, and the teacher could listen in on any of the pupils. This wasn't the way we used it, though, and a particularly memorable event occurred when my best friend Mark was recording a Meg Ryan impression, specifically the one from When Harry Met Sally.
Oh, yeah.
There he was, moaning and groaning for England, when suddenly he heard Miss Lindsay's voice saying, "Mark, whatever is the matter with you?" Not that worldly, our French teacher. I think everyone who went into a language lab also did a little bit of football commentary.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
No? I've never been to a language lab.
Have you not? Oh, okay. Well, it was supposedly improved your French, but it didn't work with me. Or Tony, by the sound of it. Father Simon, the class was divided into two sections for language lab lessons, with those not in the lab undertaking written translation work. So Mark and I are in one half, and our friend Tony is in the other half. We quickly realised that Tony, who was like us, both useless at French and bone idle, was copying one of the French superstar's pupils' translation work from his exercise book when the shining star joined us in the lab. This was not a good thing. However, one day we set a trap, and the shining star pupil, at the instigation of Mark and me, wrote a completely different English to French translation to that required by the exercise. We hoped Tony would fall for it and just copy. It was quite elaborate, with a removed pair of pages being inserted into Mark's book behind the existing staples, and it worked like a dream. Tony copied it, and thus included phrases like, "I love you, you are the wave, me the naked island."
Wow.
Which people were less understanding of this kind of thing in 1977, says Tony. He also included, in a piece which was supposed to be about a visit to your grandparents, "I love to love you, baby. I love to love you, baby. When you're laying so close to me, there's no place I'd rather be than with me. To your grandparents? I don't think so. He had some difficulty explaining this to Miss Lindsay, although, unsurprisingly, she twigged that he'd been had. So the whole class was assembled and asked for the guilty party to identify himself or themselves, although there was never any doubt that this was done by a boy. The three of us looked around sheepishly, but Martin, unwisely as it turned out, pretty quickly put his hand up. He then gave sideways glances to Mark and me, clearly expecting us to put up our hands alongside him. But here comes the shameful bit. We did not. We let the more innocent Martin carry the can. All of it. I have carried the guilt of this scurrilous behaviour with me for nearly 50 years. Can I be forgiven? Says Tony. Now, my suspicion is there'll be a whole bunch of confessions from the language laboratory where people have left lewd messages, much as Tony has done. But anyway, this is also just not owning up to something that was your fault and letting someone else carry the can. And Susie never smiles on that kind of behaviour.
No, I think that it's like cheating, but also just setting someone up for like, oh, I just don't like it. And you should have done better and you should have owned up that it was you. And although, you know, it's quite childish anyway, isn't it, what you actually did. And I'm just not going to forgive you today.
Also, I wonder, I'm quoting Matt here, how thick you'd have to be not to realise that you're writing I love to love you, baby. I love to love you, baby. I love to love you, baby, a number of times.
Is he writing that in English or in French?
I think he's translating it into English.
Into it. So he's writing in English, I love to love you, baby. Unbelievable. How thick, as you say, do you have to be? So, yes, I'm definitely going to forgive because, you know, I mean, he should have seen that coming, shouldn't he? And he had all the lyrics in there. You are the wave and I am the naked island. What's that all about?
I love you. You are the wave. Yes, me, the naked island. It's very, your turn, very, one on plume again.
Well, continental. Isn't it? Yes, how very nice. So no, I'm definitely going to forgive because of, you know, he's obviously a bit thick and didn't enjoy his French, and more fool him because there's a whole horizon there that he's denied himself. So yes, well done, and I forgive.
How would you
Was
say
that clear?
How would you say more fool him in French?
More fool him.
How would you say it in French?
In French, I would say more fool him.
Okay, that's how inspirational. Yes.
Hilarious revelations from a new generation of sinners. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession comes from, let's say it comes from Bert. Yes.
Okay, let's say that then. Let's say Bert.
Coming from Bert. Father Simon, Brother Matt, and the sisters of the unforgiving and the congregation of the fair-minded listener, I wish to seek forgiveness for my part in an incident that took place over 40 years ago in the early 80s when I was a second-year student. What was then a small northern agricultural college. We get quite a few confessions from agricultural colleges in general.
They're ripe for it, aren't they? Yeah.
Good evening to all young farmers. With the college home to about 180 live-in students in a remote rural setting, the highlight of the college calendar was the annual Rag Week, held every June, dedicated to raising money for local charities and also shenanigans. Mm-hmm. With our courses, theory lectures being delivered in a couple of unlocked, flat-roofed, freestanding wooden classrooms that slightly resembled scout huts, we thought it would be a perfect wheeze to relocate the first year's classroom furniture onto the roof, arranging it in a perfect mirror image of its indoor layout. So under cover of darkness and after some meticulous planning, we set to work. Up went the lecturer's wooden lectern, the demonstration table, and around 30 student chairs, the kind with large wooden fold-down armrests for note-taking. The only thing we left behind was the overhead projector to prevent any electrical damage from the early morning dew or unexpected rain. For the finishing touch, we borrowed the mobile blackboard from the lecture theatre. The final result looked superb, silhouetted in the moonlight. Elated with our efforts, we returned to our rooms, excited to see the college's reaction later that morning. When arriving for our morning lectures, we were met by an amazing sight. Not only did the al fresco classroom look magnificent in the early June sunshine, but to our delight, the first years had climbed up and taken their usual places, embracing the idea of outdoor learning. Better still, with that day's Rag Week theme being nightwear, we had the comical sight of 30 burly agricultural students in pyjamas, sat cheerfully on the roof, awaiting their lecturer. As we made our way to our desks in our classroom, our amusement turned to sheer joy when we heard the unmistakable booming voice of Chumper Chalton, the animal nutrition lecturer, as he approached the classrooms. Chumper was considered the strictest lecturer on campus, notorious for his intolerance of student antics. As he approached the scene, his fury erupted. What on earth are you doing up there, you idiots? Get down, you blithering imbeciles! After a 10-minute standoff, or rather sit-off, with Chumper barking such comments as, "It's your time you're wasting, not mine," the first years reluctantly surrendered their ambitions of outdoor learning and began to climb down luring furniture piece by piece. Inside our own classroom, we tried to look innocent, while secretly reveling in the chaos we'd caused. That smugness quickly evaporated, though, when we heard the first year's classroom roof start to creak ominously. Mm. It quickly became clear the roof wasn't designed to support the weight of a herd of hefty, pyjama-clad students. What a surprise. We sat silently, pale-faced, unable to look at one another whilst the roof groaned and moaned as the students climbed down. After probably the longest 10 minutes of our lives, the final student and desk rejoined terra firma. Only then could we breathe again. We were relieved that the roof had survived, though it did now sport a suspicious dip in the middle. As the days went on, the Rag Week festivities and shenanigans continued, with the rooftop antics soon becoming a distant memory. We were blessed with glorious June weather at the start of the week, However, by Thursday evening, the weather broke with a big thunderstorm and torrential rain. The downpour continued throughout the night, and it was still raining as we hurried to our Friday morning lectures. When we arrived, we were surprised to find the first years crammed into the shared cloakroom, with some even spilling into our classroom. When we asked why they weren't going into their classroom, they opened the door. The sight inside was shocking. The room was a mess. The ceiling had pretty much collapsed.
Oh, dear.
Gasps, shouting, cursing, and prayers for deliverance were then uttered. The vice principal then appeared and calmly took control of the situation. He relocated the first years to the dining room whilst he assessed the damage with the facilities manager. As the students filed past the vice principal, one clown said, "Could sitting on the roof have caused this?" This instantly gave him a rather large clue as to the cause of the watery mess and the opportunity to hold the first years responsible for the perforated roof, thereby clearing the six of us of any blame. I don't seek forgiveness from Chomper, as he was always looking for an excuse to berate students, or from the college, as the classrooms known as temporary classrooms 1 and 2 should have been condemned many years earlier. But I do seek forgiveness from the first years, who, with most of them living on campus, lost their £100 damage bonds to cover the cost of re-roofing the ramshackle learning facility. So this is a confession with real consequence. If you damage the property, you get your deposit taken away, as I discovered in my third year at Warwick. Though that wasn't my fault.
Oh, yeah, really? What was this?
That was because we got stuck in the shower playing.
You got stuck in the shower?
Yeah, we were playing sardines, and there were eight of us got stuck in the shower. We had to be rescued by the fire brigade, who smashed the door in, and obviously that caused damage, but it was a mistake.
You couldn't get out of the shower?
No, because the door jammed. The lock
so
jammed.
There were eight of you in the shower and you couldn't get out.
Fully closed.
Why were there eight of you in the shower?
Because we were playing sardines. Anyway, sorry, we got distracted there, but you lose your deposit. I lost my deposit. Well, my parents did. Sister Susie, what do you say?
Well, I just think this is just danger, isn't it? It's still a roof-raising story and in hindsight, very funny. But you should have owned up when the first years got their money taken off them. And for that reason, I can't forgive you.
It is a little bit of...
Danger,
loose ceiling tiles.
Loose ceiling, yes. Well, it was all going on there. I'm going to forgive. They put the stuff up there. Maybe it was a bit their fault. But then, as the vice principal pointed out, it was probably someone else's fault. And whoever put the damage bonds? I'd never heard of that.
No, absolutely.
For a classroom.
Yeah,
for a classroom, though. I get it if it's halls. But if it's a classroom...
They were on campus. Yes. They damaged the campus. You lose your deposit.
Well, I think they'd have had a good chance of appeal, and I would have gone in there as the QC myself. So for reasons that I've already outlined, yes. Your Honour, I'm going to forgive.
Confess All. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
Just to be absolutely clear, because I think it probably should be, just for the point of clarity... So it was end of Christmas term and we were playing sardines fully clothed and eight of us got into the shower booth.
What does that actually mean, playing sardines? What actually
Have you never played sardines?
No.
It's like hide and seek, and then when you find the person who's hiding, you join them in the hiding place. So if somebody's hiding under the table and you see them, you don't say, "Oh, I found you. I can't believe you've never played sardines." And then you join them. And then so one by one, everyone starts to disappear. And then there's only two of you still looking. And then, oh, there you are. So someone hides in the shower. Then we all, oh, there you are. So then there were eight of us, shut the door. The door lock then jammed.
How big was the shower?
It was like a double phone booth, basically. So it was like one phone booth for the shower, then another phone booth for you to put your toweling robe in.
Right.
And there was eight of you in there.
Yes.
Wow.
And then when the fire brigade came, they said, "Okay, we're going to smash the door in, stand back." Well, we couldn't move. Well, we were like rammed up against each other.
Yeah.
So we couldn't move. And also we got fined. We lost our deposit and it was in the papers. It was in the Sun and the Mirror and the Mail.
Of course.
Anyway... yes, losing damage bonds, that's what it was all about. And a mixed reaction on the people's verdict, including this one, which, of course, blamed the system.
Zoe in Bromley says, "Forgiven, I blame the system. Why was the roof of the building not strong enough? A roof really should be able to take some tables and chairs, surely."
30 students.
Yes, apparently.
Anyway, confessions at greatestitsradio.co.uk. If that rings a bell with some of your crazy student days. We would love to get your confession, please. If we use yours, you get a smart speaker. And over to Brother Matt for this week's secret code phrase.
Head's too big without you.
Head's too big without
you. Fabulous.
So if you've made it this far, well done. You can shout about it by posting this week's code phrase on Threads or Blue Sky. I am at Mr. Simon Mayo on Threads or Simon Mayo on Blue Sky. Remember to share the podcast with a friend in a shower and get your deposit taken away from you for bad behaviour. Next week, we're going to be unlocking a crypt special of fabulous confessions that deserve to be heard again. Until then, from the pub, Sister Susie performs these words.
Bye-bye.
From the cupboard of tat, Sister Holly says.
Hasta la vista, baby.
From the gutter, Brother Matthew.
Bye.
I'm Simon. Thank you very much for listening.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.